All right, but I want you to start laying out the story. I want you to tell me about the invasion itself.
Right.
That you got, you know, you get your orders. You were what, staged in Kuwait?
Yeah, we were staged in Kuwait. We originally went to Fort Stewart in Georgia.
All right.
And I had volunteered to go over. So what happened was I got a call on the day after New Year's Eve, and I guess it was the 2nd or the 3rd, and they said, okay, your number's up. Go down to Fort Stewart and meet the 3rd Infantry Division. So me and 4 other guys from the New York National Guard went down to round out or serve as fillers in the 3rd Infantry Division. We didn't know the guys we were going to be assigned to until we got there, and then we got attached to an infantry battalion from Florida. These guys were from all over Florida, and interestingly enough, we're the most forward unit of all the National Guard units that we know of. They were also the first unit to be awarded the Combat Infantryman's Badge since Korea. This was the first time that really Guardsmen and Reserves had been involved throughout the war to this extent.
Yeah.
So we got to Fort Stewart, and our battalion got chopped up into different pieces and pushed out basically as companies, which is around 100-150 guys,
right,
and spread out throughout the 3rd Infantry Division, primarily to guard the Patriot missile batteries that were bringing up air defense artillery.
Do those things
cover.
Work?
I don't know. I don't know, and I don't think anybody in the Army knows either.
I remember they didn't work in the Gulf War, but go ahead.
But they don't have their own shooters. So most of what we did during the war was providing firepower. We were the bodyguards, if you will, for all the other units that couldn't protect themselves.
Sure.
So our mission primarily was to guard them on the way up. So we got split up, and the first elements of our battalion got to the airport right as the fall came with the 101st Airborne Division. And then we moved into Iraq in, I guess it was around the end of April, beginning of May. We finally settled in one place the first week of May. Prior to that, there had been skirmishes throughout the city, and we hadn't really designated sectors. And we settled into an area called Medical City, which was right on the eastern bank of the Tigris River. Predominantly Sunni area, somewhat wealthy, but we were really alone. We hit the Ministry of Finance building, which is this massive government-type building, blockish-looking building. The thing was still on fire. And our company minus, which was like 75 guys, 80 guys, got to that building and looked over the city and really didn't see anybody else. I mean, we looked around and kind of said, man, we're actually in Baghdad. What next? And that was kind of the plan throughout, was that we assumed once we got to Baghdad, maybe we'd stay for a few weeks until things settled down, we'd be gone.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I talked with a guy who's in our organization named Dave Chastine, and he was at division headquarters at the 3rd Infantry Division. He tells me the story that he was flipping through the operations order, the battle plan, the playbook for the war. And he was flipping through it and said, okay, here we go. We go up, you know, along the Tigris, along the Euphrates, and then we get to Baghdad. Now what? Where's the next page? There must be a page missing here. There was no page missing. They didn't have a plan for once we got to Baghdad. So guys like me and my infantry guys and all the other MOSs, military occupational specialties, all the other branches of the military, were left to figure it out. And I think that's the thing that people really have not heard enough about, was how the soldiers on the ground, they really did have to adapt, improvise, and overcome to deal with the poor planning in Washington.